بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, Alhamdulillah wa the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This silsila series of discourses regarding our Mashayikh, our ulama, ulama of Dioband especially, these Ahlullah whose biographies we have tried to discuss in the beautiful examples, the legacy they have left behind for us to ponder, reflect, emulate, bring in our lives, because their lives was in accordance with the Quran and Sunnah. There is no doubt about their selfless nature, the sincerity, the humility, the generosity, the ittiba of sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the love for Allah, the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how they served humanity, mankind, and the various good akhlaq and traits that they displayed. We had commenced the biography of Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Hazrat Muhammad Zakariya sahab rahmatullahi alayhi, and very briefly we'll just recap for the benefit of those who did not hear that last week. We mentioned Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi. He's known as Shaykh al-Hadith. Inshallah, we'll explain again. We did mention last week also, because he was so engrossed in the science of Hadith that this title was conferred to him according to one of the kitabs by his own Shaykh, Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Saharun Puri Rahmatullahi Alayhi. He himself called Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Shaykh al-Hadith. So Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, when we talk about Shaykh al-Hadith now, we must know we're talking about Mawlana Zakariya Rahmatullahi Alayhi. He was a nephew and the student of Mawla Ilyas sahab rahmatullahi alayhi. Mawla Ilyas was his father's brother. Mawla Shaykh's father was Mawla Yahya rahmatullahi alayhi, and Mawla Ilyas was the younger brother of Mawla Yahya rahmatullahi alayhi. So the Shaykh is the son of Mawla Yahya rahmatullahi alayhi, and therefore the nephew of Mawla Ilyas sahab rahmatullahi alayhi, the bani of Dawat and Tabligh, the one who founded the work of Dawat and Tabligh, and we explained his biography in detail already. And of course, we mentioned then also that Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullahi, his entire family was extremely pious, a very pious family. And later on, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullahi, when his first wife passed away, then the family members insisted that he gets married again. He refused because he was so engrossed in his kitab work, his tasneef, his ta'lifat, until Hazrat Maulayasab Rahmatullahi comes and offers his daughter and tells him, "You must marry my daughter." And that was his second wife. Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullahi virtually grew up on the lap of Hazrat Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, Qutub al-Irshad. So, Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullahi had a very close attachment to Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullahi, very, very close to him. And he would play with him, was very fond of him. Hazrat Shaykh's father, we explained last week, Mawlana Yahya Rahmatullahi was extremely strict with as far as the tarbiyat, the ta'alim of Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi was concerned. Various examples we gave last week, in which outwardly it seemed that his father was so cruel, so harsh. But Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi himself says, "Yes, whilst at that time when my father was so hard upon me, I felt in my heart, certain thoughts ran through my mind. I was not happy that my father was so hard upon me. However," he says later on in life, "I never regretted that." So who are you and I now to point fingers why his father was so harsh and cruel? His father knew what he was doing. He was an alim of deen and not an ordinary alim. His father was a very great caliber of alim and a very pious alim who spent his life in the company of Mawlana Gangohi rahmatullahi and also Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri rahmatullahi. And you find, inshallah, when we read tonight, as the Shaykh Rahmatullah says, that my father passed away, he was only 19 years old. As the Shaykh Zakariya was only 19 years old when his father passed away. He said, "I missed him so much. I didn't just lose a father. I lost an ustad also. I lost a mentor. Person who guided me in my life." So, yes, we did those examples where Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah, his father was extremely strict. I mentioned myself that I even teared when I read how Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah was looking so forward to go to spend Eid with his mother and the family in Kandla. and he was away in Saharanpur. And then finally, the night before Eid, his father told him, you cannot go. And the entire day, the next day, Hazrat Shaykh spent the entire day crying. However, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali became a hafiz also under his father at a young age. And one Quran Sharif he would read every single day. Just to learn his new sabak, his father used to make him read it 100 times. So 100 times he's learning his new sabak. Imagine how solid his Quran was then. He was extremely dedicated to his studies. He studied in Mazahirul Ulum, Saharanpur. How we have the famous institution Darul Ulum Dioband in Dioband. Like that was Mazahirul Ulum in Saharanpur. Where many a great ulama also studied there and also taught there. Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah himself studied there and he even taught there. We mentioned Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali's zuhud. He's been an ascetic, complete beta'alluq as far as dunya is concerned. No love for dunya. And this was inculcated in him through the tarbiyat of his father. So even his clothing was absolutely simple. His sandals that somebody had taken away, either it was stolen or somebody took it by mistake. So for 6 months, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali did not buy a pair of sandals simply because he did not go out of the precincts of the madrasa. And ulama have written that the madrasa wasn't so big like the darun we have today, huge, large person can go for a nice walk. One small building, just few floors, small masjid, he remained there. And when he used to go to the toilet, they had champals for the toilet, which was for general use. So he would use that. Only after 6 months, when he required to go out, then he had to purchase some sandals. Also, it is mentioned in the RBT somewhere, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah didn't use a mirror for a very long time. When he saw his face, he found it so strange after so long seeing his own face in the mirror. Now this is the simple life they had. And look at our lavish lives, our nikahs, our daily lives. Inshallah, if you get some type of simplicity by reading and hearing these mashayikh, the ulama, their lives, that will inspire us, inshallah. There'll be benefit for us, inshallah. He taught Bukhari Sharif 25 times and Sunan Abu Dawud approximately 30 times, in Saharanpur. His own kitabs he studied by his father. The final year, the Bukhari Sharif, he did it twice, once there, in Saharanpur, and then when Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Ramadullah came after one Hajj trip, when he was in Saharanpur, then Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali did the Bukhari again by him. Great ulama had a lot of love for Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, people like Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah Ali in particular also. Hazrat Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah Ali was very fond of Hazrat Shaykh Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali. So we mentioned a few examples last week about his father not wanting to be having a special or any type of taluk with any particular person. So if you saw him standing in one salat and then a consecutive salat next to the same person, immediately he would reprimand him. We did the incident about the kebabs that one buzurg had brought, and Hazrat Shaykh thought that his father thought that he had hid that for himself. And he was getting very angry, but later on he realized it wasn't him. So all these things were for his own tarbiyat. And therefore Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali became the personality that he became through the efforts of his father. Just a few more important incidents. Perhaps some of them may be repetition, but inshallah it is for us to refresh our memories. It is mentioned that in the last century, India was or became the center for study of hadith. Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Ali and his family who brought hadith and made it they brought the science of hadith back into India. So alhamdulillah, the last century we find that there was great passion and zeal for studying the science of hadith in India. And great scholars, person like Sayyid Ahmad Rida or Muhammad Rida of Egypt, a very great scholar, he himself mentioned that these people, these ulama and mashayikh of Hind, the contribution they made for hadith, that they brought hadith again
into that part of the world where, and at the same time in many other parts of the world, the science of hadith was being lost. And alhamdulillah, these people, these Indian scholars, they brought about a reawakening in the science of hadith. And as the Shaykh Zakari Rahmatullah Ali, as I mentioned just now in the beginning, he was given this title by his own Shaykh, Mawlana Khalid Ahmad Saharanpuri Rahmatullah Ali, as Shaykhul Hadith. Mawlana Ali Mia Rahmatullah Ali, Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadvi Rahmatullah Ali, he says that again, as the Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali was born in a household rooted in ilm, in knowledge, and they had a great zeal and passion for deen. So his predecessors, they were well known for their istiqamat, the steadfastness, the perseverance, the adherence to deen. I mentioned last week, Hazrat Sheikh's dadi was a hafiz of the Quran. Hafiz of the Quran. She herself in the month of Ramadan would complete 40 khatams of the Quran. 40 Qurans. So can you imagine? Every day, one entire Quran plus an additional 10 paras. So end of the month, 40 khatams. As the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, as I mentioned just earlier on, he was 19 years old when his father passed away. And it was a very traumatic experience for the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali. As I said, he didn't lose only his father, he lost his ustad. And he lost his guide, his mentor. And the rest of his life, the Shaykh Rahmatullah would always talk about his father, and he would miss his father a lot. Before his Shaykh Mawlana Khalid Ahmad Saharanpuri Rahmatullah passed away, this is especially for ulama'i, that he had the desire of compiling a commentary on the Sunan Abi Dawud, which is one of the 6 authentic books of hadith and done in most of the madaris. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali's ustad and his Shaykh Khalid Ahmad Saharanpuri Rahmatullah Ali expressed the desire to write a commentary, and the name of the commentary was Badlul Majhud. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali gave great assistance in this regard. He spent hours in helping in the compilation of this kitab, and this was the opening for him now to gain more insight to the field of hadith. Now, it's not just not finding a hadith, it's writing a commentary of the hadith, and then a person has to look into different other commentaries to explain the meaning of the hadith. Then he has to know the science of hadith, the principles of hadith, usul hadith, mustalah, in which now he will find whether the hadith is a weak hadith, it is a strong hadith, accepted, not accepted. It's a whole science on its own. So it's not just taking one book and just writing some commentary. It took them a lot of time and a lot of pain in producing this masterpiece. In Madinah Munawwara, as the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali also taught the Sunan Abi Dawud in a madrasa called Ulumu Sharia. And this is where he started also the commentary of the Mu'atta of Imam Malik Rahmatullahi Ali, a very great, another authentic book of hadith, which is also studied in the Madaris, or part of it. And this commentary was known as Awjazul Masalik. I mentioned the famous scholar, Sheikh Alawi Rahmatullahi Ali, when he saw this commentary and he read this commentary, he expressed great, he commented and he praised this commentary. And he said, if I did not see on the title, on the cover, that is written by a Hindi alim, an alim from India, and even he was a Hanafi, I would have thought this was a Maliki scholar who wrote. It was a masterpiece that he had written. Eventually, in the end, Hazrat Shaykh Ahmad had a cataract of the eyes, and therefore he was then forced to give up teaching. I mentioned he taught Bukhari Sharif 25 times, the first half, and the entire Bukhari Sharif 16 times, and Abu Dawood Sharif about plus minus 30 times. As Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali inherited this taqwa, piety, good character from his father, and he aspired to follow the Quran and Sunnah. Inshallah, we'll read also every single thing he emulated the Sunnah. There is an incident in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during the Hajj, in the night of Arafat, he drank milk. So as the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, when he went for Hajj, he made sure that this sunnah also must not be missed out. Now which person is going to think so far? This is tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person becomes Allah's, when he becomes Allah's, then Allah guides him. And Allah makes him do every single thing according to Allah's pleasure. And he will follow the sunnah of Rasulullah in the minutest detail. As we mentioned Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu's incident so many times, when he went for Hajj, and he's traveling with his saathis, and he puts his head down under a certain place, as though he's going under a branch of a tree. And people asked him, what are you doing? And he said, no, at this very spot, there was a tree. And when I came with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Karim put his head down to avoid the branch of the tree. I'm also following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he had no urge to relieve himself, but he went to one spot, and in privacy he sat down, and then he woke up after some time. People could see he didn't relieve himself, he just sat there. He said, this was the spot Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relieved himself. So I'm also following this sunnah. So even in entering the masjid, leaving the masjid, Aziz Shaykh was extremely particular. Towards the end of his life, when he had become handicapped and he could not walk, he was injured, and he had a lot of problems with his legs, so he needed the assistance of so close khuddam, khadims, who would help him to have a bath. The Shaykh obviously was covered, and then as the khadim is pouring the water, on one occasion, he poured the water, instead of the right hand side, he poured the water on the left hand side. Immediately Hazrat Shaykh stopped him. He reprimanded him. He said, bhai, you're an alim. Maulvi hokar. You're still not following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullah, as we mentioned, he was extremely sincere. A small little salary in the beginning. Very meager salary he was getting. Hardly any rupees. And then came an invitation from Delhi that we'll give you 300 rupees. A big sum of money. A large wage. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali said, he refused it. And he said, I'm content with what I've got. Eventually, in Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah, just in the beginning he took some salary. In the vast part of his life, and especially towards the end, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah didn't take a single cent for any of his services. He didn't take any royalty, as we say. And despite writing so many kitabs, over 100 kitabs, Arabic, Urdu, and I mentioned, those Arabic kitabs are not one or two pages, volumes. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali put no copyright there. He gave full permission, as long as they reprinted the books in the exact form they had found, without making any changes in it. So Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, his sincerity, his ikhlas, as all our mashayikh, the ulama, Dioband especially, this was a very salient feature in their lives. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah's daily routine, this again I mentioned in all the buzughanid we mentioned, whether it is Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi or Mawlana Qasim Nanoti or Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah, especially I mentioned that waqt, they spend their time in a very meticulous manner. Every second was precious. He would wake up an hour before Subah Sadiq, occupy himself in tahajjud, recitation of Quran, then perform his fajr in the masjid, and after fajr till ishraq, he would sit, finish his azkar, his du'as. After that, he would go and meet a few people, and then he would drink some tea, but with no food. Not like us, have some biscuits and just one cup of tea. Then he would return to his room and continue with reading the Quran Sharif, and then he would begin his research work and compiling. Now in today's time, ulama will understand, if you're looking for a hadith, it's so simple, you search it in the computer, and there are so many programs, and you Google it, and you find it. That time there was no Google, they didn't have computers, there was no programs that they could just press one button and search it, and find all the sources from the different books of hadith. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali would himself search for the ahadith from the different kitabs that he had, and then he would write it down. In the end of his life, he took assistance from very special students like Sheikh Yunus John Puri rahmatullahi alayhi, Mawlana Abdul Rahim Mutala sahab rahmatullahi alayhi, and a few others who were very, Mawlana Aqil sahab rahmatullahi alayhi, who was his son-in-law also. These people themselves were very, very deep rooted in the knowledge and in the field of hadith. Then as the Sheikh would tell him, look for it in this kitab, look there, and they would also assist him. But otherwise, himself, he would look for these ahadith. So right till lunchtime. It was lunchtime, then he would sit with the mihman. As the Shaykh Rahmatullah loved his mihman and make him mihman nawazi. And I think we've mentioned every buzurg of the past that we mentioned. That they would spend so much on their visitors, Mawlana Hussein Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah in particular, Mawlana Qasim Nanwati Rahmatullah Ali, that they would feed so many people. And Hazrat Sheikh also Rahmatullah Ali, Mawlana Yusuf Mutala Rahmatullah Ali of Bolton, of Bury, of England, he was a very close disciple and student of Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali. He had mentioned himself once, when he visited us in our madrasa, he said Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali would have, when he would eat, we call it in Urdu, nashist. In other words, three servings. The very first serving, his asatiza would sit, his son-in-laws, because they were teaching, so the Hazrat Sheikh would sit there and take a few morsels, and they all would eat and they would go away. And then, and of course, if there were some important guests that came from far, they would also sit there. Then after that, the other people who were part of the madrasa there, and some guests who had come already for a few days, and they would eat. And the third serving was for those khadim, the khuddam, those who were serving the guests and serving other sheikh and his asatiza. Then they would sit, there were a few of them. When Yusuf Mutala Rahmatullah says, I should also be in that, and I should sit next to other sheikh Rahmatullah Ali. And Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali would sit from the beginning till the end. Now you and I would think Hazrat Sheikh is eating so much of food. Yes, Hazrat Sheikh bahut kam khate the. Eat very little. But just to make each person feel good, he would remain seated on the Dastar Khan. So nobody feels, hey, I didn't get a chance to sit with Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali. He would sit with them and he would pretend that he's still eating. Everybody should be happy. And then finally, because the close bond he had with Mawlana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Mawlana Yusuf Mutala Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Sheikh would give Mawlana Yusuf Mutala his fingers to lick. Come to the hadith of Rasulullah SAW. You lick it yourself, or make somebody lick it. Now that somebody has to be somebody very special to you. Now what an honor he had. So Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali himself would eat very little. In fact, it's mentioned, he never used to eat supper. But mehmano ki khatir, because of the visitors, he would just sit for a little while with them. May Allah give us tawfiq on making amal on these things. So after lunch, he would sit, and then it would be Zohar time. After Zohar, he would make Qaylulah. Qaylulah is siesta. For a little while, he would rest. And then after that, when he wakes up, he would listen to the correspondence, the letters that came to him every day, about 40, 50 letters from different parts of the world. And Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah had to write and answer. So obviously, he had somebody very close to him who he could trust. And then he would dictate, and that person would then write down those jawabs and dictate those, Hazrat Sheikh would dictate those replies to that person. Then he taught for about 2 hours before Asr. He would teach hadith. And then after Asr, he would sit in a large majlis. People would sit and he would offer them tea. This is also very common amongst our mashayikh. Many times they give some green tea or something like that. Many people will come, visitors will come and meet Hazrat Sheikh at the time. After performing his Maghrib Salah, the Fard, the Sunnah, then Hazrat Sheikh would be so engrossed in his Nafil, his Sunnah and Nafil, that he would read and read and read. People are gone. And Hazrat Sheikh would read lengthy rakats of his Sunnah of Maghrib and his Nafil in his Awabin. And again, then, at the evening after Isha, Hazrat Sheikh did not have desire to eat any food, but he would just sit just with the guests. And he would also sometimes partake of meal just to make the guests feel good. So generally, this was a normal routine of Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali, besides the many, many other great things that he would do, and seeing to people's needs, helping people who were in need of some financial assistance. Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah especially, he helped many, many, many people. Hazrat Mawlana Ali Mia Rahmatullah Ali says, Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali was extremely vibrant, never lazy. And a lazy person could not have achieved this type of work that he achieved. So he was never lazy, light-hearted, smiling, cheerful, friendly. He often jested with his close friends and acquaintances. So this is, doesn't mean a person is joking with his close friends, he can't be a buzurg. As Rasulullah SAW himself jested with Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. Whatever Rasul said was haq and the truth. And Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali had an ajeeb character, forbearance with people and humility that we mentioned already. He had this desire that he must pass away in Madina Munawwara. His Sheikh Khalil Ahmad Saharampuri Rahmatullah, I mentioned to you all, the last time he went to the Haram, he went for Hajj, and then he made dua and istikhara, and finally he decided that I'm not going to go back to India. All those who came with him, he sent them off, they all departed. Mullah Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri and his wife remained. And not long after that, Mullah Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Ramadan passed away in Madinah Munawwara, buried in Jannatul Baqi, very close where the Azwaj Mutahharat, the wives of Rasulullah are buried. And shortly after that, his own wife, she couldn't take that pain. There was no family to console them there. She was alone. And she also passed away. She is buried next to him. Now Hazrat Shaykh Ramatul also has the desire to pass away in Madinah Munawwara. And Allah Ta'ala accepted his dua, his desire. He passed away Monday, Shaban, 1402 AH. He's also buried in Jannatul Baqi. So Mawlana Yusuf Murtala Ramatul has mentioned in his kitab that about maybe six rows or six qabars after Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, on top, Hazrat Shaykh is buried right there. Very, very close to where the family of Rasulullah SAW is buried. Allah Ta'ala chooses his bandas. May Allah Ta'ala give us maut in Madina Sharif and burial in Jannatul Baqi. This is always our dua. Inshallah, we have great hopes. Allah Ta'ala, despite our weaknesses and how filthy we are, Allah Ta'ala must forgive us and grant us the Jannatul Baqi. So yes, I mentioned that he had written many, many kitabs, and he was very particular about following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even when he was wearing his lungi, or if he was busy doing some other task and he had to put his shoe on or do some type of work like that, then too he was mindful of the sunnah. Sometimes a person is busy, his mind is occupied, preoccupied in something, and does not realize that he is not doing the correct thing. He might be talking to some person and he entered the masjid and he entered with the wrong foot, with the left foot, instead of the right foot. These people were so particular, it became second nature to them. So despite being preoccupied with something else, when he came to following the sunnah, they were extremely careful. So as I said, entering the masjid with the right foot, Bismillah wa salatu salamu ala Rasulullah, as the Shaykh would say it loudly so people could understand, to hear. And he would tell his murideen, his students also, to make amal on this. Sunnat of Friday, he was extremely particular. The ghusl on Friday, sunnat, according to Hanafi madhab, other madhab say it is wajib. Nonetheless, it is a very highly emphasized sunnat. And we find our mashayikh, and especially as the Shaykh Ramatul Ali, was particular in observing the sunnat of Friday. He would apply his itar, he had his ghusl, apply itar, and whether he was extremely weak or bitter cold, then too he would make sure he takes this ghusl on Friday, and he would go to the masjid, and of course all the other masnoon practices of Friday he would also emulate and bring to his life. It is mentioned about making Umrah in the month of Ramadan. Person who makes Umrah in the month of Ramadan, in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one narration says that he gets the sawab of making Hajj with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Shaykh was very particular on making Umrah in Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, he was living in Madinah Munawwara in the end of his life. But the month of Ramadan, he would go and he would perform an Umrah daily. In order to achieve this merit and perform a sunnah, whenever Hazrat Shaykh got the chance, then he would go and perform the umrah. And he says, in his youthful days, it was so easy. They would go and they were strong, energetic. After Tarawih, they would put the ihram on, Masjid al-Tan'im, come make the niyat and perform the whole umrah, tawaf, sa'i, and finish off everything, shaving the hair, everything, and still had time to rest also before sehri. So the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali was particular about this sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam as well. The eating of barley bread. It's mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Nabi Akram eats barley bread. So as the Shaykh got a quantity of barley and began to eat barley bread for a long period of time. Just a few more incidents. Isha is getting late also. Fajr is early. But just a few more incidents, inshallah, and next week we'll continue. I mentioned last week, Mawlana Abdul Qadir Raipuri Rahmatullah Ali. There are two very great buzurus who have this name Raipuri. One is Mawlana Abdul Rahim Raipuri Rahmatullah Ali. So he was much elder, much senior, he came before. Very great buzur. And there is one Abdul Qadir Raipuri Ramatulari. Also a very great buzurg. He himself mentions regarding, or he told Hazrat Shaykh Zakaria Rahmatullahi and Mawlana Yusuf, who was the son of Mawlana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi. Mawlana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullahi was the son of Mawlana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi. So Hazrat Shaykh and Mawlana Yusuf are cousins, and also Hazrat Shaykh is a father-in-law and Mawlana Yusuf is a son-in-law. So Mawlana Abdul Qadir Raipuri Rahmatullahi, regarding the two of them, he said, where we ended, that's where you people have commenced. Where we have ended spiritually, he said, Hamari jaha intiha hui, Hamari jaha intiha hoti hai, wahan se tum log ki ibtida hoti hai. So we can imagine the caliber of Shaykh Rahmatullahi. He was a man of determination, himmat, courage. Now to achieve again the task that he achieved, to read one Quran a day, such lengthy rakats, to see to the people's needs, to see to the mihman, to see to the work he was doing, teaching hadith, and all these things, a person must have himmat. Without himmat, a person will never be able to achieve anything. So this is something that Sharia teaches all of us. May Allah give us that himmat. Even to abstain from gunas, or mashayikh say, you must have himmat. But I can't stop looking at, casting lustful glances at women. Mashayikh have said, a person must have himmat and courage, pluck up that courage. And this is what we need, that firm resolve and determination to be able to do something or abstain from something. Hazrat Shaykh was a very jami' personality. To explain jami' shakhs, so, person, he was a master in so many things, so many tasks, and he perfected those tasks. One word in English, it doesn't really give the full real meaning, a polymath. And the person is so good in so many things. So the Shaykh Rahmatullahi had this comprehensive personality within him, that he had the ability to do so many things and do it meticulously. So despite having this tabiyat which his father inculcated in him from childhood days of solitude, never to be with too many people. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullahi, when he should be after Ishraq and finish with the people, he would go up to his room and nobody could see him. Unless it was very, very urgent or he called for some person. And this is mentioned in all his biographies, and many people who had spent time with the Shaykh mentioned this. There's one person, Hakim Saab, a very close friend of Shaykh Rahmatullahi. In fact, later on he became part of the family also. And especially in the month of Ramadan, Hazrat Shaykh would hardly talk to any person, just engrossed in his ibadah. So, let alone getting a chance to even, you couldn't meet him, but you're going to speak to him. So Hakim Saab came once, he wants to speak to Hazrat Shaykh, and the Khadim said, no, Hazrat is busy, no ijaza. In the end, somehow he managed to get across. Salaam alaikum, Hazrat. Ramzan come by us also. Not only by you. Walaikum salam, I'm going. Nonetheless, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullahi had this yaksu'i. Yaksu'i means solitude. So the man could spend his time properly. He didn't waste time. Now we have so many attractions. I mentioned, when we did the biography of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi, that when he was studying, one box he had of all the mail that would come, the letters, and he just puts in the box. He should only open those letters at the end of the year, when it is time for a holiday, and Hazrat Shaykh is sitting there, he'll open the letter, or certain person in your family passed away, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun, make dua maghfira for the person. Somebody gave birth, mashallah, mubarak, whatever it was. In today's time, Allah forgive us. Cell phones are in front of us. Ustad is teaching. Students are playing with the cell phones. Books of hadith. And we're busy with our cell phones. So whether wherever we are, at workplace also, we're driving also, we got our cell phones on. So much of distraction. How are we going to get the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah forgive me. Allah forgive all of us. Allah help us to make our islah. Allah help us. And islah can only take place if we are determined that my islah must take place. I mentioned previously also, Allah save us. If the car has some dent on it, Allah protect you from accidents. But if your car has some dent, what do we do with it? we take it to the panel beater. And say, suppose you bought a new car and suddenly it was met with an accident, and now you take it to the panel beater, and then the panel beater is about to pound on it and you know, make that, remove the dent and repair the damage. And you say, no, don't do this. It's a new car, don't do this. They tell you, babe, take your car and move it up from here. You brought it for panel beating. So Islah, in Islah there'll be panel beating. But we don't want that Islah to take place because we find it very painful. Go to the doctor, he checks you up. He says, no, I need to give you injection. Pulls out the syringe, you say, no, doc, please, I can't take injections. What does he say? No, you've got to take it. So it'll be a few seconds of pain, some discomfort, but after that it's for your own good. For all of us, we require this panel beating and this Islah. So the purpose of sitting here, not just to hear some stories, mashallah, what great buzurg they were, that we must try and bring some aspect of these people's lives into our life. Inshallah, we'll find some benefits and some Islah. So despite the nature of solitude that Hazrat Shaykh Ahmad had, he still made time for hundreds of mihman that he would get. And people of different temperaments. Somebody is very, very cheeky in nature. Somebody very soft. Hazrat Shaykh would see to all these people. He would see to the Islah of his Muridin, writing of kitabs, teaching hadith. And even he remained a lovable person in the eyes of the contemporaries and his mashayikh and his elders. I remember I explained to you all, there was a little bit of ikhtilaf between Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madi Rahmatul Ali and Hazrat Thani Rahmatul Ali. But despite that ikhtilaf, they themselves had such a close bond relationship. Now Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatul Ali is in the middle. He's got very close ties and bond in the chat with Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madi Rahmatul Ali. And at the same time, he's got taluk with Hazrat Thani Rahmatul Ali. And it's at that time where people were causing a lot of fitna and mischief, and Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali maintained that moderation and i'tidal in his life, and he still showed respect to both ulama and seniors. In fact, he's written a very beautiful kitab, Al-I'tidal fi Maratib al-Rijal, available in English. It's nice to read, especially for ulama. It's nice to read this because we see what Sharia teaches us, and we see the different books of ahadith and explanations, how a person should be balanced in his life. He should not be extreme. As the Shaykh Ahmad says, humility, in one of the kitabs he mentioned that Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali in Madinah Munawwara, it was very, very hot. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali came out of the haram, and the driver was supposed to have picked him up at the time, but because of the traffic, he was delayed. Hazrat Shaykh was sitting there waiting in the heat. So he sat down on the pavement. At that time, some of the Muridin came. And then finally the driver arrived. He was a khadim also of Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. And the khudama getting angry that you made Hazrat wait. What is wrong with you? Hazrat said, bhai, not his fault. The traffic, you have to understand. He says, so what if I sat on the pavement? I am not even equivalent to the dogs of Medina. The dogs of Medina are superior to me. Hazrat Shaykh didn't just say this just by means of his tongue. It wasn't just lip service. He really believed in it. He really, had this humility, because in another story it is mentioned, once he's walking somewhere and some dogs barked at him. Are bhai, maybe aapke brother ho. I'm also part of you. So no use barking at me. Don't bark at me. Hazrat Shaykh Ahmad had this type of humility. This is called kasre nafs, to annihilate yourself. The higher a person goes, the more tawazu he should have. So in Hazrat Mawlana Inamul Hasan Rahmatul Ali, in end of year today, inshallah, Hazrat Mawlana Inamul Hasan Rahmatul Ali, who was known as Hazrat Ji. Now Hazrat Ji, Mawlana Inamul Hasan Rahmatul Ali, was the son-in-law of Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Rahmatul Ali. Hazrat Mawlana Inamul Hasan Rahmatul Ali was also very close to Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali. So close that Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali is making mashwara. He will say, Mali Inam ki intizar karo. Wait for Mali Inam to come. When he comes, then we'll make mashwara and see what he also says. This was the respect he had for Mala Inam al-Hasan, who was known as Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali. So after Mala Yusuf Sahib, after Hazrat Mala Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah passed away, then Mala Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali became the Amir in Nizamuddin. And after that, Mawlana Inam al-Hasan Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali's son-in-law, he became the Amir of the work of Dawat and Tabligh. So one day Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, to test his son-in-law, also his student, very close, he got so much of respect for Maulana Maulana Hassan Rahmatullah Ali, to make his tarbiyat also, he say, Maulana Am, Hazrat Ji banne ke baad kya farak hua? Now you given the title of Hazrat Ji, people say Hazrat Ji, Hazrat Ji, Hazrat Ji. What, any change has happened in your life now? You're feeling very good about yourself. In other words, concern is, I hope ujab hasn't come into you, vanity, pride. Maulana Mullah Hasan Rahmatullah Ali, ajeeb buzurg bas, alhamdulillah, we had met him, had been to our country many times, ijtima. Very quiet person he was, very quiet. But a very, very pious, extremely pious. So, Maulana Mullah Hasan Rahmatullah Ali replied with a lot of respect, he said, Hazrat, before I became Hazrat Ji, meri ek rai hoti thi. I could voice my opinion. Ab Hazrat Ji banne ke baad, meri koi rai baki nahi rahi. I've got no rai, no opinion. Why? Because now if you listen to the satis, what you see, what you see, what you see, in the end I do what they want. So my opinion is gone now. Before at least I could voice my opinion and see this is what I think we should be doing. Now, even though I became Hazrat Ji in the eyes of the people, I've got no opinion that I can force. I listen to what the people are saying. So Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah was so particular in the tarbiyat of his murideen, his family members, his students. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Inshallah, next week we'll continue. More incidents, of course, all this, the maqsad of all these things is so that we may bring these teachings of these mashayikh into our lives, because they had spent their lives understanding Quran and Sunnah and the Hadith of Rasulullah SAW, and they brought it into their life. That's the difference. And with sincerity, with humility. And therefore we mentioned all these incidents, many of our mashayikh have mentioned. Tanzilu rahma inda dhikri salihin. We take all these buzugs names. Allah's rahmat descends. We just feel so close to them. We desire, how we wish we could be like them. The day of Qiyamah, al-mar'u ma'a man habba. We love these people, we'll be raised with them. And they will be raised with who? With the people they love. Who do we all love? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That must be our desire. The day of Qiyamah, I must be raised with my Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba ikram, the Salafi Salihin, the pious, the awliya of Allah. Even though hum gande hai, napaak hai. But we have this genuine desire. Inshallah Allah will accept our desire. And at least we'll be raised with them. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك